Blog Talk Radio.
I thank it for me.
Yes, I am.
Ring bang dana da dang dana da.
That's it.
A revolution. Yeah. I'm on fight a revolution. Ring dang dana da dang dana da. A revolution. Revolution day. Dang, 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 dang. Dang, 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 dang. Check it. Some corporate people down from out and them a make big speech. But poor people the food not reach. I'm enough to wonder how them really sleep. Them living in the pool while the poor are feeling heat. Red concrete. Why, oi, red concrete. Why, get a part of down, you ain't nothing but a victim. We're just trapped in a political system. There ain't no one to say let alone. If you hit the big man a gunshot, then broke your bone with stone. Why? So a revolution, yeah. I'm on site a revolution. Coming in a Babylon land, yeah. A revolution. Government, what is your aim? Where is the plan? Where is the future for the younger generation? If there's no light at the end of the tunnel, well, young your stuff, I go red like hell. For man, the peas are cooked, but the rice can't swell. For no more big speech, time to come action. Crime and the violence rampant in our nation. People say it's because of separation. There's got to be a revolution, yeah. What a hot a revolution, wriggling in a Babylon land, yeah. A revolution, yeah. Guns, knives and cutlass revolution. Dang da da dang, dang da da bang. All you false leaders, I brand you as traitors. Nothing but poor mongers, idol worshippers, them a sorcerers. Yo, you better come down off of your pumps and try to pick in poor people for a joyride. Cause all you teach is to divide and rule, and I use the people then with your political tools, your school. Sure. Cause a revolution, yeah. The poor going to see the revolution. Ring dang da da ding, dang da da ding. A revolution, yeah. What a hot a revolution. Ding da dang da dang da dang. No matter how them a come out and a kill off them teeth. Yet the poor man, the food not reach. Tell them all to practice what they preach. Cause I don't want to see them all a pagan preach. Whoa, cause a revolution, yeah. I'm on site a revolution. Ring dang da da dang da da. A revolution.
Oh, hello. Welcome to the Chef Rob Show. I'm your host, Chef Rob, here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm suffering a little bit. Allergies have been bothering me the last few days, making me feel like shit. Hate that. But there's a few things I wanted to talk about. But I wanted to have my guest call in. He's not available as of yet. Hope he get his act together and give me a call here real soon. If not, I think I may have to go flatten his tires before the night's over with. Don't like that. Don't do that. Don't do that. So, there's been a lot of things happening this week. You know, people have been talking about I think that debate thing and a few other things. I was kind of threw some stuff out of my mind. You know, this is Chicago, so I don't want to go ahead and start giving you that. Yeah, the murder statistic for the week. You know, I can't stomach that. But at the beginning of the week, it was Columbus Day. And I wanted to do a show on that, but I wasn't up to par for that. And I wanted to comment on that. I really wanted to comment on that, Christopher Columbus. I mean, I just don't understand them celebrating this murderer, flyer, this thief, and still telling that lie that he discovered America. I listened to a lady, actually on Monday night. I was in a store, and she was talking about they had suspended her child from school because he questioned the whole Christopher Columbus thing. And that was, wow, I couldn't believe it. To take control of your kid like that, you know, keep feeding them their lies, and when a kid challenges you, then you're going to tell the kid's wrong, but you're not presenting any evidence to go ahead and say to the contrary of what the kid's saying. And the kid's going ahead and telling the teacher that she's wrong. But they called the mother, and the mother came to the school, and she said, hey, look, well, he was right, so what's the problem? Well, she said this happened about 2 weeks ago. So right now, she's in the process of moving out of the state and homeschooling her kid. I said, bravo to that system. Go on ahead and do your thing. Because we don't need another miseducated young black youth out here gearing them up for the prison system. So while I wait for my guest to call in, I want you to ponder that for a minute. Play something. I like Bushman, so check out Bushman, Creatures of the Night.
Yo! Flesh! Why is it in the flesh? Stop speaking up your teeth! This man come on your teeth, flesh, and you come on your teeth, flesh, and you are in the flesh. Let's be wise, well, I said in flesh. I listen last to send me round your soapy teeth, flesh. We're on the path of it, and lead us where I lead, flesh. Because them only come round your soapy come eat, flesh. You know, see, flesh, they don't believe, flesh. Every man in us, me right, me up in eat fish. And a vegetarian, and we no eat fish. This is the last day, because we man don't eat fish. Whoa, I live among the creatures of the night. Vampires, hypocrites, and parasites. I let the last day give my strength to fight. Whoa, I live among the creatures of the night. Vampires, hypocrites, and parasites.
Because them only come round, that's the big complete flesh. You know, see flesh, they love it. creatures of the night. Vampires, evil creatures, parasites. I little as they give us strength to fight.
I'm getting there, man. I'm just, you know, my allergies were screwing with me, man.
limiting me to what I can do and how I can move around, but I'm still trying to do it. I got to ask you a question before you get started. I want you to make your presentation, the same one you did yesterday. But I want to ask you a question. How did you celebrate your Columbus Day?
You say how did I celebrate my Columbus Day?
Yeah. Did you have banners and participate in the parades?
Oh, of course not. I really don't celebrate holidays like that. Ever since I got to, ever since I got into the information, you know, start learning about things, I let a lot of things go. So, you know, I'm really not a big, I don't believe Christopher Columbus discovered America. I don't believe none of that because it was people already here, black people.
Yeah, you know, that's real simple. You know, and they always show you the pictures. They always show you the pictures. They show you pictures of him shaking hands with the Indians. And, you know, that always made me wonder. But anyway, about your presentation, go ahead and get started. Anyway, go ahead and set it up. Let me know when you're ready. And just keep going.
Okay, well. The presentation that I did yesterday was called The Importance of Empowering and Awakening the Younger Generation. And the reason why I put together this presentation is because I'm in I live in the inner city Chicago community, and I'm a youth. I'm young myself. I'm 18 years old, and I talk to a lot of youth in the Woodlawn community, the Grand Crossing community, the Rosen community, and the Inglewood community. And I'm talking to them, and I'm seeing the problems that we face, and how it's so easy to get caught up at the negative traps out here, you know, when being a youth, because there's so much negativity out here. So I see that there's no other movement than the youth movement, because the youth are the future. If we care about our future in any way, shape, form, or fashion, then we have to care about the younger generation, because the younger generation is our future. We strive and thrive. Back then, we had doctors, lawyers, businessmen. We started to go to college, but that was back then. So if we care about the future, where is our doctors going to come from, our businessmen, our businesswomen, our lawyers, our people who are working corporate America? Where are these people going to come from if the youth is dying off right now? So I created this presentation to let you know where people of how we need to awaken and empower the younger generation so that we can stabilize our future and put us our future in safe hands. Before I go into any presentation, the first thing that I bring up is the vectors of mind control. Now, the vectors of mind control, we have to talk about mind control, because mind control is the number one thing that is supported by the hierarchy of the world, because then when William Lynch stood on the banks of Massachusetts in 1712 and talked to the slave masters and told the slave masters what to do, he said, keep the body strong and the mind weak. So we have to understand that if they are keeping our body strong and they're keeping our mind weak. So the vectors of mind control, that they control us through our religion, education, nutrition, pollution, public opinion, subliminal seduction, feminization, media, military, metaphysics, and the mind. These are the vectors that they control us through in the community, the things that they use to keep us or keep our minds in a certain fashion. And, you know, if you wanted to write those down, you could. I also talk about the free thought criterion. The free thought criterion is your right that you have when anybody is speaking. The free thought criterion is critical analysis, being able to critically analyze the information that's being presented. The second one is abstract thinking, being able to see the things that a person is saying that you might not usually be able to see if they were speaking, being able to actually go deep into what a person is saying. Intuitive insight, being able to go inside yourself and gather up information to see if what a person is saying is right or wrong, and being able to take it. Inductive reasoning, being able to reason with the information, being able to, you know, differentiate right from wrong, and logic. Logic is just thinking, you know, about the logistics of what a person is saying. We must understand that the new generations of today are the generations to be controlled, and if not stopped by 2020, are predicted to have wiped themselves out due to senseless killing, drugs, mass incarceration, starvation, and disease. So it is imperative that we inform the community of why we are dealing with these evolving problems amongst the youth and how we can start to implement some solutions to help recondition the minds of our youth in a positive way. because we have to recondition the minds of our youth if we want to see a future change. It's a lot of things, not a lot of negativity that's going on right now with the violence in the community and being pushed through the mass media, the killings. Have black people out of lowest on the totem pole, and all this is for a reason. We have to really step up to the plate and see what we need to be doing right now to make some of this stuff change. Whenever you're talking about a young person, whenever you're talking about, you know, the youth, first you have to start at the home, because 90% of the brain develops between the ages of 1 and 5. Between the ages of 1 and 5, that child is mainly at the home. The home is the first teacher. The home is what teaches the morals to the child. So in order to have a proper home, you first have to have a stable-minded mother and father. Most of our youth in our home live without a father or a mother. So that's the first thing, the first missing link that we are missing in creating positive youth, because we don't have, our youth don't have both parents inside of the home. It's 24 million of our youth in America live without a father inside their home. The mother is there to what? The mother is there to show the daughter how to be a woman and how a woman is supposed to be, and to show the male what to look for in a woman and how a woman is supposed to be. The father is there to show the son how to be a man and the proper work ethics of a man, and to show the daughter how a man is supposed to be and how a man is supposed to treat her. So when one of those links are missing, the child does not grow up to be the most efficient child that the child can be. And that's what's going on in a lot of our homes. We're missing that first link. The second thing, in order to have a proper child in the home, you first have to have proper work ethic, discipline, teaching, and encouragement from both parents. In our homes, it's not the proper work ethic. The father is at 50% unemployment rate. So the fathers are not working inside of our homes. The youth are not seeing the proper work ethic from the fathers. A lot of our mothers go without jobs. So the youth, and if my mother don't have a job, if my father don't have a job, then subconsciously I'm going to receive to not have a job when I get older. It's a generational curse thing that we see. So it's not the proper work ethic. It's not the proper discipline. Our discipline is just like slavery. You spread around, you spoil the child. And we beat our children. We whoop our children. And what that does is that creates a disconnection between the mother or the father and the child, because the child subconsciously feels that, okay, you love me. But some of us, we go outrageous with the way that we whoop our children and the things that we do, the way that we hit them. So our children begin to subconsciously reject us from that hurt that we put on our children. So we don't give them the proper discipline to stop them from even doing the negativity before it happens. Teaching and encouragement. We have to teach our children and encourage them to do the right things. We have to tell them to do the right thing. We have to encourage them and let them know the ins and the outs of everything. Yo, don't just tell them all the good. You have to tell them the negative, too, because it's negative. It wouldn't be good if it wasn't for bad. It wouldn't be negative if it wasn't for positive. So we have to give our children both aspects of teaching, not just the sugar-coated version, the soft version. You have to teach them at a young age, so that when they get older, they can begin to understand things. They don't have to learn things themselves. And you have to have that from both parents. Again, in the home, both parents have to be doing that in the home. Number three, a safe and peaceful environment where living conditions are suitable to live. Now, you know, a lot of our homes are trashy. A lot of our homes go without food in the refrigerator. A lot of you go without the proper food in the refrigerator. A lot of the youth go without the proper hygiene products to keep themselves up. They don't have soap. They don't have deodorant. They don't have proper running hot water. A lot of our homes in the community go without proper running hot water, so the youth cannot properly wash up. Therefore, the youth go to school and might get talked about. Or the youth can't properly keep up with the Joneses, so the child go to school and possibly get talked about. We have to have safe and peaceful home environment. Domestic violence goes on in our homes a lot. Domestic violence is high in the black home because it's a lot of relationships that fail, and due to those relationships failing, the parents get into it, and the children therefore sees that. The son seeing that, if he sees his father, will see his mother, subconsciously he thinks that he needs to hit women. And if the daughter sees that, then subconsciously she thinks that she should let a man control and hit her. So we have to look at that in the home, and we have to have safe and peaceful home environments where living conditions are suitable. It's got to be suitable living conditions. A lot of our youth, unfortunately, live without beds and inside their home. Rats and roaches run throughout the home. And it's crazy because we do nothing about it. Back in the day, if a family on the block knew that the family was struggling, everybody would come together to help them. Nowadays, we know people struggling, and we just see it and don't care about it. So we have to care about that. First, it starts at the home. That's all for home. When we lack these three things, then we cannot raise proper youth. We have to first look at these three things and look at the home, and then therefore make a decision, okay, this is why the youth is acting this way. Secondly, you have to talk about the community. Now, in order to have a proper community, you have to have housing, education, you have to have community businesses such as grocery stores, clothing stores, local malls, and et cetera. You have to have law enforcement. You have to have recreation, which is the parks and the after school programs and the center. You have to have a job market, which is the work, the jobs that people go to. You have to have community organizing, which is the aldermen and the people who come to the mayor and the people who come together to create what's going to happen in that community. And then you have to have commonly unified people, which is the people in the community. In the black community, we own none of these attributes. We don't own, a lot of us do not own the houses that we live in and we're renting. A lot of us, we don't own the education and school system. A lot of us in our church in the schools every day and never have met the teacher the child goes to school and allows to teach. The teacher is very influential. And in a lot of our schools now, we have homosexual teachers teaching in front of young black men and young black females. So we don't care about the education. Community businesses. We allow the Arabs, the Chinese, we allow the Mexicans, we allow everybody, every other race, Indians, coming out of the community and make money. But we don't control that. The law enforcement, as we can see with mass incarceration, our mass incarceration is at its highest. We don't control the law enforcement. The police can just patrol and control their community. Recreation, we don't have many after school programs, and we don't have actual clean parks in our community. The job market, like I said, it's a 50% employment rate for black males. So it's not a good job market where males can have jobs and trades have been stigmatized. So now males don't even go out to trades anymore, especially young males, because it's not offered as fast as food. Community organizing, we don't own the community. We got people that's aldermen, we have people that didn't politics, but we really don't own it. And our commonly unified people, people are not unified in our community. Back in the 60s or maybe even the 50s, people in the community walked past each other and they would speak to each other. How you doing? Have a blessed day. Now we don't speak to each other. We walk past, we mean we frown at people. Somebody tries to speak to us, we think they're crazy. So we have to get our community back. And the youth see this, and the youth see the community that they grow up in is not controlled by their parents. And the parents say that you can be all you can be, you can do whatever you want to, but when we go into the community, we don't see anybody doing what the parents say that we can do. We tell our youth that you can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer, you can be this, but when we go into the community, the only people that's making the money is the preacher man and the drug dealer. Because the preacher man, every Sunday, he drives up to church in a nice car, maybe a different car, and the drug dealer does the same thing. The preacher man dresses nice. He dresses good, and the drug dealer does the same thing. And this is what we see in our community. So we don't see black doctors. We don't see black lawyers. We don't see this very often. We are not allotted to see these things. So when people say that we can do this and we don't see anybody doing it, we are not inclined to do it. So we have to gain our community back. When we go into our communities, we see boarded-up homes everywhere. On some of the blocks, on some of our blocks, it's 5 and 6 boarded-up homes. And the youth walk around in their communities and they see this, and when they see dead homes, and they begin to gain a dead mentality because of what they see in the community. A lot of people are getting put out their homes, therefore making more boarded up houses in the community, making dead communities. When you ride through the Hyde Park community, when you ride through downtown, you do not see boarded up houses. You do not see on a block boarded up homes. So we have to understand what is going on in our community and what our youth is seeing. The gangbangers and the young cats and the guys on the street running control of the community. The elderly are scared to come outside their home and fear that they might get robbed, fear that they might get shot. Youth are scared to walk at night, scared to walk past seven. It's like with a gang when you're out here walking through the neighborhood and the community because you can't walk through certain blocks. You got to take certain ways to go through here. If you go there, for a lot of our youth, they have to go to school and they have to travel through other communities to go to school. So, you know, a lot of our youth are scared to go to school. It's just a fear in the black community of what is going on. And we have to understand that if we care about the younger generation, we have to get to the Pookie and Ray Ray. We have to get to the gangbangs and the drug dealers and the people that is doing this for change for them. And then we have to do it as individuals in our community and stop just saying the riding past and seeing them on the corner and not speaking to them, not saying anything to them, just saying, oh, they gangbang, you see them selling drugs, but you want to do something about it, but you can't. We have to be dedicated to actually doing something about this and not allowing youth to control this community. Mothers are scared of their sons. Fathers are scared of their sons. People are scared of the young people in the community, and they're running around. People are running around wild and rampant, and we can't control this. We have to be dedicated to controlling the young people. Trans garbage is still spread to our community. Our youth walk, and in some fields, you know, we see trans garbage and fields everywhere. We see bottles, we see paper, we see chip bags, we see candy wrappers. All this is all over our community. It spreads to our community. And some of the lots, people just throw, you know, they throw couches, they throw big things outside their house and just leave them out in our community. You don't go into the white community and see that. You don't want the Chinatown and see that. You don't want the Indian community and see trash and opposite stuff everywhere. But you see it in our community. And we have to be dedicated to making the change and more so thinking about it. I was riding down the street one time and I saw a sister. She must have just came from here. She got a 9-piece wing, and she must have only had 3 wings because she threw the rest out the window, the mouth sauce, the wings, the fries, the bread. She threw it all out the window as she was grabbing, showing that she doesn't care about the community. And this is what happens in our community, due to us being ignorant and us having a lack of caring for what is going on in our community. You have to be dedicated to changing that. The young cats going wild, they kill each other. It's like Russian roulette. Everybody dies. He killed him, so his buddy come back and kill him. His brother come back and kill him, and it's an everlasting long cycle. We have to stop the violence that occurs in the community with the youth. And the youth is seeing this, and they going wild because of what they seeing in their community. Growing up as a young black male or a young black female, and the community is bittersweet because I'm one to think that poverty is a gift because when you go through so much and you become go through things, you have overcame things. It's not good all the time to have everything handed to you. But our youth, you know, what they go through is crazy. A lot of our parents don't even know what the youth are actually going through and the things that they see, the shoot. The fight, the gangbang, the drugs that the youth is because the youth is mainly around us. So we have to care about that. So what happens? Body power in our community. Body sisters, the death toll continues to power in our community because we allow the youth to see us control the community. We allow the youth to run wild and rent. The youth is asking for help right now. It's like a baby. When a baby wants attention, a baby throws a temper tantrum. Well, now the youth is throwing a big temper tantrum and they ask for attention. But the thing about it is the older generation, not just the older generation, but the elders are not stepping in the aid of the youth. Some people are doing things in small amounts, but it's not a lot of change that's being done because as we see, you turn on the news every day, things are only continuing to perpetuate. The young females in the community, our females, they run wild and rampant. They have no history of self. They have no knowledge of what a female actually is. So the young females, they try to adapt to anybody. But the new female that is changing a lot of females' minds is Nicki Minaj. She is supposed to be a role model for the younger generation. Our sisters are there dyeing their hair every different type of color, pink, green, yellow, gray, black. Some sisters, I mean, they just to get anything in their hair. They dyeing it any type of color. They wearing eyelashes and long nails. The pregnancy rate is going up. I'm not against sisters getting pregnant because I believe in being fruitful and multiplying. But I don't think all these babies should be coming through. And a lot of these babies are dying at the ages of 12, 13, 11, and they just come in for no reason. So we have to protect our queens in the community. Our queens is called all different types of BIPCAs, tricks, sluts. We call our females anything now, broad, anything. Everything except for everything except for we even call our cars she and her and baby. But we don't call our queens that. We have to get back to uplifting our queens, putting our queens back on the pedestal, because the Bible lies and says that man was here before woman. That man gave a rib, woman is missing it. Man is not missing a rib. And everybody who comes into this dimension comes through a woman. So one man, which is the womb man, the womb man, the man with the womb, one man is everything. It's the essence. We have to put our queens back on the pedestal. We have to help our young sisters more so understand their health. They don't know anything about no queens. They don't know about Queen Nzinga. They don't know about Queen Nefertiti. They don't know about the only queen they know is Queen Latifah. They don't know anybody else other than that. So we have to teach the young sisters. Because what happens is the young sisters, they go crazy. We might think that, you know, a lot of people don't know this, and some people might do, but, you know, the number one killer in the community is not heart disease, it's not cancer, it's not car accidents, it's not violent crimes. The number one killer in the community is abortion. In 1973, we have killed 13 million babies due to abortion, and this is a statistical number that was given out by Planned Parenthood. Since 1973, there's 3 million people in Chicago. So we killed over 4 Chicagos full of people due to abortion. Our sisters went into the clinic saying, I don't want this baby. Males being killed and not actually protecting themselves the proper way and let it loose. So we have to, you know, understand and protect our queens. When we look in our community, drugs is crazy in the community. Crack was pushed in the 80s. Crack hit hard. It hit real hard in the 80s, and it threw the minds of our people up. When we look at the new drug of choice now for the youth, it's pills. And now they get the youth with these ecstasy pills, which has everything in it, all the negative things. They name them these cartoon names and give them these funny looks. Funny, but the pills are named SpongeBob, Glock, Red Monkey, Obama, Bart Simpson. These are named with pills, and what they do is they put the pills in that shape. They make the pills look just like the name. And what people do is people go buy the pills and they pop them. They get in our youth. They target our youth with the color. The pills that we pop today, it would be just like the Smarties that people used to eat when they was younger. They used to see you when you was younger. But now people, they popping pills, they're going crazy now. The youth is killing because they roll, and when they got this new thing called Molly. They're introducing our youth to crack now because Molly is peel and powder form. So now our youth is popping Molly's now, which is the equivalent of dope. This is what our youth is doing up in the community, young females and young men. People smoke the cigarettes. People smoke squares crazy in our community. Cigarettes. Cigarettes is $9.75 now. Pretty soon, cigarettes is going to be $20, and people going to be going to get their money to buy a cigarette just to get that high. Because you're not addicted to the nicotine. They lie and tell people that, oh, you're addicted to the nicotine. No, you're addicted to the sugar molecules that they put inside there. Because when you taste the cigarette, it's sweet. It's a sweet taste. When you pull it, it's not lit, it's sweet. That sweetness comes from the filter. Inside that filter lies sugar molecules. So the addiction lies in the sugar And that's what gets you addicted. That's why people have to have them a cigarette. Because it's the sugar that they get out of there too. And also, the cigarettes, they went to the internet. And also, they started to put more better chemicals inside of the cigarettes. So they have to go up on the prices because anytime you trade chemicals, they charge more. If the United States is doing commerce with Germany and they want a chemical that kills quicker, they got to pay a little more. So that means they got to raise the prices on the product. And people continue to go back square. You know, the drugs get pushed.
I think that young brother's line dropped. So, call in, give me some questions, some comments. Tell me about what you think thus far. We're trying to get him back on. 773-269, your line is open. State your name, where you calling from?
I'm calling from Chicago.
Oh, this is my brother, Jerome. Interesting.
How you talking?
I'm all right, Jerome. What do you think about what you heard thus far?
Well, I mean, it's very, very enlightening and very interesting because, you know, these things we do know, but the question is how do we implement a system to, you know, make people aware? As he being 18 years old, he's very quite aware. How do we get our people to buy into the reality of what they're doing to themselves?
Buy into the reality of what they're doing to themselves?
Yeah. I mean, it's clear that all these things are going on, but in the reality side, our people are not, they don't care.
Can you speak for everybody? Because wait, hold on. I have to stop people when they say our people. You can't speak for everybody, okay?
Our
culture. So just tell me about the group that you know or the people that you've been in contact to, because you definitely can't tell me you speak for everybody. It's not our people. There is just like it's always been said to you, always been told, a cliche, one bad apple, you know, all that crap. But we got a few rotten apples.
No, I think we have a lot of rotten apples.
Okay, so look, if we go ahead and we count, you know, for every 10, would you go ahead and say for every 10 person you count in the area, what is it? 1 out of every 10, 2 out of every 10, or 5 out of every 10?
I don't actually have a figure in front of me.
Well, that's why I said don't go ahead and say to hate our people because you don't have them numbers. And you haven't go ahead and talk to everyone, every person, every black person in Chicago. You haven't talked to them. You haven't dealt with them. You deal with a large number of people. I know that. I get that, Jerome. I know where you work. Okay.
It has nothing to do with where I work.
No. It does. It does. It has a lot to do with where you work because you're in contact with people constantly.
No, I'm saying to you that you.
So when you go ahead and you're in contact with them people constantly, you can go ahead and get their views, and you can understand what they're saying about life and some of the things that they're trying to do. When they're in your office and some of the things they're doing out there in their personal life. You understand what I'm saying? That you cannot go ahead and speak for everybody. But we got a few rotten apples, and these are the ones that are being concentrated on. You know, the assholes doing the negative shit and going ahead and trying to destroy.
Well, I mean, what I was saying was I'm saying our culture, we weren't talking. I don't think that he was talking about the white population, the Puerto Rican. He was saying that our culture.
We're gonna keep it with us because we can't speak for nobody else. And basically, we really can't speak for nobody else. We got to speak and deal with us. We cannot go ahead and deal with nobody else. And this is I got a big problem with this. I don't see why so many black people go ahead and have sympathy for other people's causes and not their own cause. That irks the shit out of me. You just don't know how mad that makes me when we go ahead and trying to worry about other people's causes.
Well, I think. And I was trying to answer the question that you asked me of my thoughts, not whether or not I'm right or wrong.
Okay.
What I was trying to express was the fact that how do we communicate this to a culture, not to an age bracket to a because this is not a problem with just the young population. It extends over to the older population, which brings it back down to the younger population.
Okay.
This is going on when I was growing up, it was the same thing. You know, these same things were happening. You know, we were we didn't our culture didn't care. Not everyone, because I cared, but I couldn't speak for everybody. You know, we have a problem with our people being stuck on the streets. You know, it's like, you know, there's nowhere for them to go. You know, and they're not trying to.
Let me ask you a question real quick. Okay, so, you know, you back up a little bit. I think this thing has to be done by age because everybody has different comprehension levels. Okay? And, you know, the same conversation you're going to give a 4-year-old, you can't go ahead and get that to a 40 or 50 or 60, 70-year-old, 20 or 30-year-old. See what I'm saying? So it has to be, the message has to be formulated so it's dealing with those different age groups and age brackets.
But I'm saying, why is it an age thing when you and I'm much older, and I'm telling you that when I was growing up, it was the same thing. It's not something that just happened overnight.
No. I think my point. You agree that there is a problem. So how do we go ahead and put it out there, the information out there, there's a problem, to go ahead and deal with a plan to attack this problem? And so you can't go ahead and come in with the same message for everybody. You have to go ahead, to get everybody on board, you have to come in with a different message for different age groups.
Well, I think the thing is that...
You got people who are different on the different levels on the economic scale, the education scale. You have to go ahead and formulate some kind of plan to go ahead and communicate that there is a fucking problem.
I mean, that was my original question I asked you. You know, I mean, how do you fix it?
You know, how do you fix it? I got an idea, and I'm working on mine. It seems it's slowly getting off the ground, and it's slowly my messages are slowly resonating. So my thing is basically, you know, either go ahead and work with me or die. I mean, what you've been doing ain't been working, so kill your fucking self, or work with me and live. That's it. I ain't got no more time to go ahead and be giving them long speeches, trying to go ahead and describe it some other way. No, we're in dire need of a solution to this problem. Do you agree?
100%. But
when we got this problem, we recognize that there is a problem. And most people are out here doing ills or not even paying attention, not even getting involved, or they'll go right by you. You know, they're going to their job, walk to the bus stop, the train station, jump on it, and go ahead and see so many different people who are in need of help, but they just keep on going.
Well,
they
just get
numb to what's happening out here, to what's going on out here.
Well, I mean,
that is our biggest problem, is our inactivity.
Well, so you have a large population. It has nothing to do with the time. It has something to do with how do you attack this as a on a wide scale. And probably
let me tell you something, man. You know, let me tell you something. Okay, you got to do it small. It's like this: if you hungry, would you stand out there and beg? Would you ask? Now, begging and asking is two different things. Or would you take it?
It depends on the person.
See that? I'm asking you, Jerome, straight up. What would you do? Would you go ahead and take this knife on my desk? Would you get that pistol? What would you do? Would you go ahead and take it? Or would you stand out there and beg and tap dance? Or would you go ahead and say, excuse me, I like to have so-and-so? There's a difference. There's a way and you go ahead and you present, you know, what you need to individuals. But if you look like you're coming at them on your knees, ain't nobody going to respect you. Not too many people.
But I think that the if you understand and have a knowledge of the resources, see, some people don't have knowledge of resources. So the only resource they know is to do just what you said. If I get hungry, I'm going to pull up the knife. Or if there's a gun available, I'm going to rob and just go to jail. But eventually they're going to get out of jail, okay? And then the next time maybe they'll understand, oh, I should have did it this way and that way. So my point to you, and I was sharing this in the beginning, and you kind of cut me off, I was saying that it is a sectional thing because, see, we can, as you get older, you've already made the mistakes. When you're younger, there's a chance that you can educate them and then try to change that stereotype before it gets too late. And what we've done.
Brother, your line is still, your line is open. Just we're going to get with you in a minute, all right? Go ahead, Brother Jerome. Finish up.
Yeah, so what I was saying is that that from my experience, you have to start somewhere. You can't start by trying to mix the gunfighter with the knife fighter. You know, if you get to them while they're young, you can possibly help change the next generation. You know, most of the older have already, some of them have already messed themselves up. So here
well,
you
Sam,
are.
You know what? You let me real. I'm gonna interject just real quick. You can make a lot of mistakes. So who's around you? Go ahead and help you guide you. So when you're younger, you're gonna make a lot of mistakes. That's a lot of times we don't have the right role models or the right people around us. You don't have the right team. Even as people get older, they still make mistakes. We're gonna make mistakes to the day you die. Do you understand why I said that?
You said, do I understand?
Yeah, you understand why I said that?
Yeah.
Because we still making mistakes as we go along. Even people, you know, they're gonna keep on making these mistakes. Okay. So, but the thing is this: some of the mistakes you made when you was younger, you got to if you don't recognize that they know mistakes, then you're gonna pass that bullshit on to somebody else.
Okay, can I ask you a question then? Can I interject?
Go ahead, Jerome.
I mean, there's a reason why we have a school system. And what happened is that we have there's two different types of responsibility. There's a responsibility of the educational system, and then there's a responsibility of the private system. And so what has happened is the private system is doing its own thing. You know, it's people out here that have these theories. They have these all these reasons why they think that this is going on. And yet what ends up happening, we're not educating our people. We're trying to educate them after they've done the crime. And so what ends up happening is that now they've done the crime, and just as you say, oh, they're going to mess up. We're not creating the back roads to say, okay, now we're going to take this set of kids here, and before the streets get them, let's try to give them something positive. We wait till after it's done, and then we say, well, we can't understand why it happened. Yeah, we're looking at it after.
Let me say this. The people who own private prison systems know what's going on. So these are the same damn people who run your education system. These are the ones who also go ahead, and they already know they're in the third grade whether you're going to be in jail or not. Third or fourth or some stuff.
I am talking about the men. I am talking about the women of our culture. You know me. I work with young adults. I have a program that is called it is the prevention of our young adults from going into the justice system. The age starts at the age of 5. It doesn't start after they've committed a crime.
Wow.
Okay, it doesn't start after they commit the crime. What I try to do is prevent them from getting into the justice system. Give them some positive roles. Give them some direction. Okay, I can't save them all, but I don't have brothers coming knocking on the door say, hey, Jerome, I'm going to help you with your process. They come and tap me on the back and say, you're doing a good job. And yet here I've had to deal with hundreds of kids over the years. So when you tell me that the problem is that when they get to 30 and 40 years old, it's harder. Now, if I can give a kid at the age of 5 some direction, he has a better chance than waiting until he's 30 and 40 years old.
Oh, I 100% agree with that. Let the young gun. Hey, young gun, you still there?
Yeah.
I want you to finish your presentation, but you know, I want you to address some of the things that what Brother Jerome just said.
I apologize. I didn't know I was off. I was still talking. I didn't know that I clicked off. I didn't know I was talking to myself.
when you listen to yourself, how you sound. Go ahead, brother. Go ahead and make that, address some of the stuff that Jerome just said.
Well, actually, I just came back on online. I was trying to get my presentation together, but pertaining to
it's cool. Let me take another call real quick. They got their hand up. 708-473. Your line is open. State your name. Where you calling from?
Brother Ra, this is Brother Fakhar Muhammad. This brother, how's everything?
Oh, brother, how you feel, man? Everything's good. Everything's good. You got a question or comment, brother?
Yeah, just wanted to comment because one of the things that I've noticed, which was, of course, spent a lengthy time on the conversation of what was obviously one would consider a generational gap between the youth and our elders. One of the things we have to understand that the experience that the elders had and continue to have to this day is an experience that has been put on us. It's not an experience that we made. It's an experience that has been given to us, just as well as the youth. The youth that today have not the same experience. One could say a similar experience, but a more expanded experience today that has also been given to us. And so when we are able to really sit down with representatives, and I'm so glad, dear brother, that you've mentioned for the brother to say not everybody, but some bad seeds, because we do have a lot of conscious young brothers and sisters throughout our communities nationwide, internationally, who sit at the table and discuss not only from a theoretical position, but from a practical position of how to conquer these particular problems that we have within the realms of the community, such as an example that we have with your guest, guest brother, Young God. And so, again, when we are sitting back as youth, when we're sitting back as the elders, and we sit at the table, the young brother asks, well, how do we solve these particular problems? How do we get what we're going through? We have to be able to first get to the root of the problem. A lot of the times we take the problem to start with us, and we don't actually get to the root. We're talking about drugs, but we don't talk about the source of the drugs. We're talking about economic problems throughout the community, but we don't talk about the source of the economic problems, and yet we go to the source of our problems for a remedy to solve our problems. And so just as the young brother, Young God, I believe the brother of Bang, go back, mentioned, we have so much throughout our communities, and yet we sit back and the youth are told to, you can be all that you can be. You can be the president of the United States. You can be this. You can be that. But yet, as the brother stated, even most of the parents are not that. Most of the people throughout the communities are not that. But the big question is, when we say you can be all that you can be, are we talking about you can be outside of who you are as a people and imitate another people, that you can be that? Or are we asking our people to be who they are in essence and disregard what has been given to us all of these years that have kept us in this situation and understand the historical value of who we are, get the consciousness of who we are, and begin the process to build for self and learn particular trades from individuals in the community who may be doing certain things. All of the time, it doesn't take money. You can teach for free. You can give certain things for free. And so when we're dealing with this generational gap, we leave out the particular aspects of trust. Now, I actually had this particular conversation earlier with an individual on that. We talk unity, and then some people will say, well, before we can unite, we got to love each other. But I would go as far even beyond before that to say that even before we can love each other, we have to do a primary principle, which is trust each other. Most of us do not trust each other. And so when we're looking at the oppressor, when we're looking at, if one would say the Mexicans who come in the community or others who come into the community, one thing they have with each other is trust. regardless if they dislike each other, they trust each other enough to uplift their people. They trust each other enough that they would do whatever it takes, that they would have a means to keep roofs over their head, to keep jobs throughout their communities. And so, again, in looking at this, because it was a lengthy conversation on that piece, is that a lot of the time we have to understand, just because you are an elder and you live in the experience of where you came from doesn't mean you overstand the experience. And just as well as some of the youth today, as the brother said, who don't understand the experience. That goes two ways. You have some elders who don't understand, who need to overstand, or they understand but don't overstand, and you have youth who understand but don't overstand. And so the brother mentioned that we have to have people who have knowledge and resources. Now, you can say that on both ends. There's elders who have knowledge and resources. There are youth who have knowledge and resources. You take one perfect example, and you can take technology. Most elders do not have a technological grasp of today's society. But who does? The youth. So much so that you may not know how to work your phone, but if you give it to that five-year-old, she can figure out the ins and outs of that phone in 10 minutes, in less than 10 minutes. And the elder's sitting there and don't know. And so we have to understand that today the youth have something that the elders don't have. And, of course, the elders have something that we don't have. The idea that today we have to do is understand the wisdom that both of us have to be able to sit down at the table and not look at age, but look at experience and the intelligence that we are going through. See, that is the problem, one of the problems, I should say, with us as a people when it relates to the generational gap, is that we make it an age thing. The brother said we should keep it focused on age. No, we shouldn't keep it focused on age. We should keep it focused on intellect, because our people have never been historically a people who looked at age. They always looked at intellect. They always looked at wisdom. And so if we focus and keep our historical traditions alive, if we keep those historical traditions alive and we play our historical traditions today, then you'll be able to sit down at the table with wisdom, not looking at age, but with wisdom. Because I can go somewhere right now. You can go to, for example, the Freedom Home Academy, and you can go to that school, which is headed by Brother Marcus Klein. You have 7-year-olds, 6-year-olds who could sit an adult down and teach them on multiple courses. So am I to negate what that little brother know or what that little sister know and say to myself that he or she cannot teach me anything because she's 6 or 7 years old? What do they know? That's the ignorance of our people, and we have to cut that out, because do not look at the age. Look at the intelligence. Look at the wisdom that can be sprung from any individual, regardless of age. And when we do that, then we can move forward and sit at the table as counsels of God.
That's deep, brother. That's deep. I'm going to be at the meeting next time, I told you. I'm going to be there.
Yes, sir. Oh, definitely.
I'm going to try and bring our brother Jerome and the young God there, too. They need to be in that meeting, too. I know I'm going to have to tie Jerome down and put tape on his mouth because he's going to say crazy stuff. Hey, 314, your line is open.
Yes, sir. Rob, how you doing, sir?
How you doing, Captain Hick? What's going on?
Yes, sir. It has been a while, but I have been in the temple, so to speak, in the temple.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. You had a question or comment or what you heard thus far? Oh man.
Yeah, Brother Rob, I've been listening in on the show and listening to the young brother speak and all the other brothers speak, and just wanted to reiterate that we still are on our mission. Our mission, and the only solution continued on, is to be able to have our own land. Today, I met with a nice African-American couple today at my dealership today. And these people were telling me, I mean, these people worked all their lives, had retired, are doing very, very well for themselves. But it was incredible how they still retreated and what one of the sisters said to me today, she goes, you know, I've been working around these Anglo-Saxons, and you know something? I'm just used to the way they treat me. And it was incredible that even today, and these people were probably in their 60s, put a daughter through Stanford College. She's working for Google right now, doing very well. And yet they still have the disrespect that's happening. I talked to them, and I told them about what we need to do, continue on what we need to do. And Rob, I'll have when we're done with the show, I'll give you a call because I want to tell you some of the things that we're working on right now to help us financially get into a position where we can do things on our own without the need for any outside assistance. So, for those young brothers and sisters out there, if we stay here in America, and for the brothers, if we stay here in America, we are doomed. The African American community right now is going down the toilet as we speak. We are being so marginalized right now in every facet of business, every facet of even television itself, mainstream media. We are being used and abused. Like right now, I mean, I like watching football like you guys do. But at the same time, when I start looking at these brothers out there on the football field who are making who have a short period of time to make some money, and what happens to them after the game is over, 3 to 5 years, they're done. They're broke. Within 3 years, they're broke. Within 7 years, an NBA player is broke.
You know what? That's amazing because I saw something on where they started some kind of course, financial course for these brothers. And you're right. A lot of them go ahead and out the game. Recently on Manute Bol. Manute Bol died a few years ago, but his son is in seventh grade, and he's 6'3". About 6'4", 6'5". My thing is this. I think that, hey, some people recognize that he got a little talent. They're going to try to work that out, and I guess the family going to be hurting a little bit.
Absolutely. And so in order to get ourselves out of this condition, we have to get back up. We have to get on our own two and do things on our own. Now, one of the things that I'm going to tell to some of the listeners right now that I really encourage them to look at, there's a program online called MetaTrader, Currencies and Commodities. I would suggest to some of the listeners to really start to get involved in the financial market. How do I trade gold, silver? How do I trade currencies? How do I trade stocks? The reason why I'm saying that is because when you have a sum of money, say $10,000, and you buy a stock or you buy a currency or you buy a product, and you start to learn the process of trading these financial instruments, nobody can hold you back at all based off of your color. The market is independent, meaning that when you sell or buy a financial instrument in the market doesn't say, well, guess what? Rob is a black man, so I'm not going to take his order today. The market doesn't care. The market will either give you profit or the market will take your money, irregardless of who you are. Now, think about that. That means using your money in order to trade for profit. Now, I want to try to give a couple of directions for people to understand what's going on. There is a championship going on right now called MetaTrader. MetaTrader Championship. If anybody types into their Google search engine, MetaTrader Championship, you're going to find that right now there is a championship going on between individuals who have submitted what's called trading robots. What do I mean by that? It is a simple computer program that is used to trade in the financial market. Now, this type of information, this ability, can any one of us can do now at home, meaning you and I can write our own small trading program in order to trade in and out of the market irregardless. And so now there are certain people in the world right now who, let me give you an example. The guy that's in the number one spot of the MetaTrader Championship let me back up before I tell you some of the results. Rob, tell me, if you were going to put money into an account, what is an annual return that you would say is a good annual return?
What, you mean in a savings account?
Yeah, you say if you put $1,000 in an account, any account, to you, what would be a really good annual return?
Remember, you asking me.
Okay, I'm asking you, brother. Tell me. Go ahead. Just shoot it out.
For me, what I think would be a good return, 80%.
Okay, 80%. Okay, that's fine. That's fine. 80% return is something that's good. So for $1,000, you want to have $1,800 done. Or say if it was $10,000, you would want $18,000 at the end of the year. Okay, so 80% return. All right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Now the guy that is in the – now remember, this championship that I'm telling you right now is a championship that is going on a theoretical account. Can you trade off of their signals now for your own account? Yes, you can. So right now the number one guy has taken his theoretical $10,000 and has turned it into $38,000 in 2 weeks.
Mm.
Number two guy, I think, is at $27,000.
Hold on. Back up. For me, I'm slow. Okay, say that again about that 38 grand because I was about to fall out my chair.
Exactly. Exactly, brother. Exactly. So what I'm saying is these guys, this championship that's going on right now is being hosted by MetaTrader. MetaTrader is a trading platform. And, guys, what I'm telling you right now is going to take time for you to understand and absorb. And this is one of the reasons why I've been gone. I've been low-key for a while, Rob, is because I've been really on this and working on my own trading robot. I've been back into the programming. And when I'm going
so,
to
encourage... So check this out. So what you just saying, so we need these, you know, maybe four sessions of classes every day.
Yeah, brothers, we need to get on this so bad. We need to drop, I mean, we need to continue to do what we got to do for work to make money to get our ends going together. But we all need to start to learn this type of programming. And the reason why I'm saying that is because this type of programming, when you learn, and we're not talking about thousands of pages of code. We're only talking about two pages. These are very simple rules that have been designed by these guys. So now, just hear me out. So what happens is this year, 400 people have submitted a robot, a trading robot. It's a computer program that, based off of rules, if the price goes up today, I buy. If the price goes down, sell. When I get in the market, if I'm making $100 in profit, take my profit. If I'm losing $25, cut my losses.
Mm.
Now, these programs go in and out. Some of them go in and out of the market very, very quickly, meaning that some of these trading robots, some guys write their robots to trade 20, 30 times a day. Some people write their robots that will trade maybe once a week and hold their position. Some people write their robots to trade. You can trade five times a minute if you wanted to, called scalping. So when these people they've submitted these robots, now the competition is going. So now I've been analyzing. The competition goes from October to December. At the end of December, we will see how much these guys have made on their theoretical account. The winner of the competition gets an $80,000 prize, and he makes 80 grand from one of the banks that's sponsoring it. Last year's top guy took his theoretical $10,000 account and turned it into $117,000 in 3 months. So, Brother Rob, your 80% for the year, he made almost 1,000% in 3 months.
Mm.
So now, and once again, now let's get back to reality, though. Let's say, for instance, if we are people that are making 30% a year or 20% a year, that is still a phenomenal return. Let's get back to the reality. 20% annual return is a phenomenal return in a year. If I have $1 million in the bank, 20% return, I get $200,000. I don't mess with my principal.
Hold on. I want to go ahead and address this to Jerome because I love what you said. That was great. So, Jerome, you still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
So, based on what you heard, do you really think? Now, I'm not trying to go ahead and get a swing at you. What you're doing, I commend you for that. I respect what you do. That's why I come over and talk to you because there's some ways I want to try to help. But do you think, based off what he said, this should be something that should be taught instead of actually us going to go work for somebody?
100%.
Okay. We're on the same page with that. I hope I didn't have to go ahead and stick it. Go ahead, Captain Hit. Oh,
now,
no, I'm sorry. You got something else you want to add to that?
Who's that? My child?
Yeah, Jerome.
No, I'm listening.
Okay. Go ahead, brother. Continue. Let me put something. Let me throw something out here. Brother Bianchi is saying the Mooney twins had a currency trading robot several years ago, and Butch and Durant was trading with robots doing Forex training in St. Louis. And
sure.
You know, when I went and I Googled that, it was the
Meta Trader Championship.
I seen a
2000. Click on the link for 2012, and you'll see what's going on
right
now.
Oh, I had one for 2011. Okay.
Yeah, that was last year's competition, and you can see the graph. And now 2012. Now you can see what the guys are doing right now. And the number one guy.
How much, brother? How much I need to put up for this? I need to look into this, man. This ain't interesting. I
understand this, brother. What we have to do first? You gotta do your research. Remember, this type of trading now, this is highly volatile trading. This is, I could put 10 grand in and I can lose $5,000 in a week or a month. I could put 10 grand in, and of course, you want, the reason why people lose and what has happened in the past. And
I don't
want to
lose no money, man. I don't like doing that.
I don't do good with losing. Yeah, I understand that, but you know, the bottom line is this. You know, there's always, you want to minimize your risk. And the best way to minimize your risk is through the use of these trading robots. That's what they do is they are unemotional. The robots, see, what happens is in the market, when you buy or sell a currency, so say, for instance, I buy at 9 o'clock. Okay, I'm making $200 profit. Then all of a sudden now, by 10 o'clock, the market turns against me. I'm losing $300. Now I panic. I panic and I say, you know what, let me cut my losses. Okay, so I cut my losses, I take a $300 loss, and then by 12 o'clock, I'm back up to $200 of profit. And then I'm like, damn, I should have stayed in longer. So then I jump back in the market. So the problem with human beings is human beings are not good at trading because our emotions get in the way. We have, say, for instance, I'm making $500 profit. Then all of a sudden,
yeah, but humans created it.
No. But, yeah, I understand that. But humans will violate their own rules easily.
Uh-huh.
If I set a rule in the market, if I set a rule and my robot, and I tell my robot, at $300, you take a profit, no matter what happens. And at $50, you take a loss. At $50, I take a loss. Now, if I don't have that robot set, if I don't use my stop losses or my take profit rules, and I'm sitting there and I'm like, wow, it's $300. Now, hey, you know what? Let me wait a little bit more. Maybe I can get $400. Now it's at 400. Let me wait a little bit more, like gamblers, like guys that are in a casino.
Mm-hmm.
Man, just let me try one more time, and I'll make $10,000. And what happens? In the end, you lose. So with these robots, and this is what the professionals do. Professionals, one of the companies that is about 30 miles away from me is called Renaissance Technologies. And I would encourage you guys to take to Google it. Renaissance Technologies. These guys are about 30 miles away, not even, what am I saying, 20 miles away from me, about 10 minutes away from where I work. Renaissance Technologies was started by a mathematician. The guy is worth like $12 billion or something like that. This is what these guys do. And they make 30% return a year on their fund, and their fund is closed. All their offices is a bunch of computers, and you can't even get in there. For nothing. You can't even get a job as a janitor over there. These young guys, the young cats that are working over there, are all PhDs in mathematics, and I know for a fact these guys, they are making $1.5 million a year. That's their salary. $1 million a year. These guys are walking in the bank with checks for $1.5 million, and these are just total geeks.
Let me ask you a question real quick, because some come to mind. Who devised these little systems, these little games? Who devised this particular one?
Well, these type of systems have been devised over time. So these, like, back in the day, I mean, since the 70s and 80s and 90s, these things have been coming up. So what happened is, based off of C programming, C++ programming, that's what the basis of the programs are written on. And when I tell you brothers, this is, don't be intimidated by what I'm saying. Don't be intimidated about trying to learn this. If you go to, once again, the MQL5 and MQL4 on that MetaTrader Championships, you will see tutorials, and you got to take the first step. Step by step, start to learn this, because think about it. If we're able to create a good robot, say if our robot, Rob, makes 50% return in a year. Okay, 50%. Now, remember, the bank, you're only making 1% in a bank a year. If you're buying real estate, you may make 10%, 20%. You're lucky if you make it. Think of all the problems you have with getting assets and worrying about them, and homes and taxes and this and that. The smart people are the guys that are managing money.
Let me ask you a couple of questions, brother, because there's some...
Go ahead.
You know, Brother Pianchi said he used to teach stocks and options at advanced trading, and today he wouldn't mess with the markets. But I also got a text here. It says, why deal with the markets when the currency status of this country is going down? Also, who is this benefiting at the end with your kids? We need our own
system. Everyone knows who George Soros is. You know who George Soros is?
Yeah, I do, but most people don't.
Okay, a lot of people know who George Soros is. George Soros is a currency trader. That's how he made his billions. He trades currencies and commodities. And I understand Pianchi may say, oh, I don't want to get in the market. But what I would tell the Brother Pianchi is this. Brother Pianchi, you can't trade in the market as a human being. I wouldn't trade in the market just on based off of my own. Now, we as people that live at home, years and years ago, we never had the ability to get stock quotes and currency quotes to us. We had to go work on Wall Street because that's where all of the feeds were. Now, because of the internet, we can get this information right on our own laptop. We can get it on our phones. So now all of that information has come to us. And now these people across the planet have now created and shared. A lot of people have also shared some of their code and their robots to other people in the world. And now we are in a position where we can set up our own financial trading system on our own computer without any interference. So the market, irregardless, the market, if people understand, if the U.S. dollar collapses, you can make money, millions, on the collapse of the U.S. dollar.
Yeah.
You can make that. What's up, Keith? You can make, so if the U.S. dollar appreciates, you can make money. People forget that when they hear, oh, my God, the stock market collapsed, it went from 13,000 down to 8,000, people are jumping off the bridges and all of that stuff. Yeah, there are people. Those are the people that lost. But you don't remember, you people forget there was another person that won. The market is a zero-sum game.
You know, I've been hearing this thing a whole lot where it's been even though Obama's been in office, and you hear the right-wingers go ahead and say, hey, look, he's hurting the country, socialism, all that, you know, the same old usual BS they throw out.
Yeah.
But then again, I also heard that there's been a lot more billionaires have been created in this.
Go ahead.
So what are they getting rich off of?
What they're getting rich off of, they're getting rich off of buying and selling their currencies and stocks, and those values appreciating. Look at the guys at Google. Look at the guys at Apple. Okay, the CEO of Apple made $300 million.
Hold on, Captain. Here, I want to ask you another question because it ties into that. Because the Facebook thing went up, right?
I don't know. Did
he make more money? Because I heard the stock was losing. So my thing is it's kind of hard to get into that game when they got all the devices in place So, you know, we
once again,
you know, we can't,
you can make money. If Facebook loses, there's a guy that's making money on them losing.
Okay.
If I'm a guy that would, and I would be a person, if you asked me, okay, hit, what would you do with Facebook? I would be a seller. I don't think Facebook could last. I just don't see the financial model of it. I don't see how it can last. So there are people right now that are betting big money on it to go down. And there are people that have made big money on it going down. So when Facebook IPO came out, well, I don't know what it was. What was it? $200 a share. Okay? So there was a lot of dumb people around the world. Oh, I'm going to buy Facebook. Yeah, $200 a share. Then it drops down to, say, $100 a share. Now, those people, they lost $100 a share. Somebody else sold them at $200. Remember, the market is a zero-sum game. I cannot buy if someone cannot sell to me in the market. The market is, oh, that's the way the exchanges work. People sometimes don't understand that philosophy. How can I sell something I don't already own? Well, you can. It's called short selling. Short selling is a technique. That's what the banks down here were doing with the mortgage crisis. They were the ones, people were like, they were betting that the mortgages were going to default. They were betting that the market was going to collapse on it. And those guys made tons of money, man.
Yeah, that was kind of what I was alluding to. Because I saw that they bet against the country, and then they want to turn around and tell you how patriotic they are and how much they love us.
Exactly.
You know, and they're full of shit. You know, the thing that bugs me so much is that the ones who are the most patriotic, you know, you and I are vets, so, you know, they ain't never served a day in their life.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
So y'all full of shit.
When you and you've heard before, like with, oh, the market got, the exchange got shut down, computer trading, whatever. That's where it's all going to. Everything is automated. There's no way. The floor brokers, there are so many floor brokers here in New York that have lost their jobs. It's not funny. It's going away from that. Everything is going to automation. So if the market slides, there are programs out there right now that are triggered that, okay, the market slides, it's falling. Stop, take my losses, reverse, and sell in the market to make the money up. And so these robots are the ones that are trading, that are doing this type of stuff. Now, think about it as the black man. If you write your own program that is profitable, nobody can stop you. Nobody can sit there and say, and your robot, your program will always function the way you want it to function.
Okay. I get it a little bit more now. Now I get it. That
you see
robot,
what I'm saying?
Yeah, that robot being the program, right? And
That's right.
With the whole thing about the computerized training, you know, you're dealing with somebody else's program, so they can manipulate the program at any time. I think when the systems went down, I think that was kind of planned. I don't trust none of these fuckers.
Well, I think that
was kind of planned, and it was people made money when the stuff went down too.
That's right. And what I'm trying to tell you guys now is that it's time for us to write our own programs. We have the tools now are available for free. All of the
let me give you a question real quick. Okay, so somebody sent me a text. So could we build on gold and other minerals that are more stable? When the dollar collapses, could we use them to trade with the gold and the other minerals internationally, like from Africa?
Yeah, yeah. When you start talking about the physical elements, yes, you can use that. We're talking about right now trading in the financial markets.
And this would be a sense going ahead and creating a whole nother market just addressing our issues.
Like what you can do, you can trade in the markets, make your profits. Then if you want to go buy physical gold as a hedge, you can buy physical gold as a hedge. You know, in the market itself. I look at other tangible things as probably more important.
Thing that kind of bothers me though is that the Europeans have set the value on gold. How do you go ahead and you stop that? They've already said, it's worth this much for whatever reason.
I'm not even trying to study. We got a robot that they could not control, they could not stop. if the price of gold goes up, our robot can make money. If the price of gold goes down, it can make money. If they
so what
if
happens
they
when they manipulate the system just to go ahead and crush another country?
They can't. They can't.
They've done that, and they've already done it.
No, Rob. When you're sending an order, okay, if I'm sitting on my computer and my robot is trading on my computer and it sends a signal to my broker, buy this amount of money, he can't say you can't buy. He can't come into my computer and manipulate my program. He has no idea where it is.
Mm-hmm.
He has no idea. So all it is a signal. Buy at this price, buy this price, this amount. Sell this price, this amount. That's all the broker gets from your computer, that signal from your program. That's all it gets is a buy at this, sell at this, modify an order, take my profit at this order, take my losses at this order. Because you never win 100% of your trades. You want to win the majority of your trades, and you want to make your profitable trades make more money than your loss, your losing trades. It's going to average out over the end. So when you've got these programs working for you, and once again, this stuff is online, the programs we can download, you can download the program for free on your computer. You can access all of the resources, the articles, and technical resources for free so you can start to learn this. And it takes time. This is what I've been doing for this last year. It's been working on this thing because this then gives us the ability to then make money like the way the richest men in the world are making. Does everybody know who Warren Buffett is?
Yeah, somebody I want to rob soon. Hey,
So people know who Warren Buffett is, right? That's all. What do you think he's done, Rob? He doesn't own anything. He doesn't make anything. He doesn't that man doesn't go digging a hole anywhere. All he does is buy stocks and companies and lets everyone else do their work. And when he buys and sells a stock and he buys currencies, he has tons of people that he pays a lot of money and says, okay, which one do I buy, which one do I sell? Now, the robots are based themselves off of technical indicators. There's two different types of indicators. Technical means that there's a chart. You can take all the closing prices for the last week, and then you add them up. You divide by, say, 5 days, and then you plot a point. If it goes above this point, buy. If it goes below this point, sell. There are fundamentals, meaning fundamentals are, okay, Fed chairman is going to make an announcement on the interest rates tomorrow, and then you wait to see what's going to happen. So usually you'll see people in the market when a fundamental, like when the Fed chairman wants to open his mouth and say something, nobody will get in the market because the market will be very volatile around that. Like the euro right now, if the Greeks default, if Greece defaults on their loans and they say forget it, they're out of the euro will drop like a bad habit. And I can tell you right now, and if you're a person that can sell the euro, then if you have a program working, you can do very well. That's how George Soros got his money. He bet on the collapse of the British pound.
You know what
I remember.
This is how I see it. I see certain individuals who got control of other people. They can go ahead and pay, buy off, whatever. I think they're playing with this whole market thing. They love keeping it unstable because it does go ahead. It is profitable for some people. My thing is I want to identify what it is. Go ahead. What it is, so I can go ahead and see how they can manipulate it. So you understand what I'm saying? What is the way to put safeguards in place to go ahead and watch that stuff and pretty much have our own stuff?
Rob, the market is too big for like quote true manipulation. What they can do is they can hide certain things from the public, certain public knowledge, and then release. Like for instance, this I'll tell you right now. If you knew like the weather, if we knew today that some like a big freeze was going to happen in Florida, what happens to the orange juice futures. They go up, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So now there are people that know the weather before you and me. So they can manipulate certain information that is market-driven information, market-sensitive information. They can collect that. They don't have to let you know what the debt is, that, quote, insider trading. That's what they don't. So they can't manipulate the market. They can manipulate when you and I get the information.
Oh. Okay.
So all of a sudden, yeah, shit collapses. They've already gotten out of the market, and then all of a sudden, everyone else panics, and then they've already taken the opposite side of the position, and they're making money on the collapse itself. Remember, if this market collapses, there will be the other side is going to make trillions of dollars.
Hey, Captain It.
Mm-hmm.
Can you look in the chat room?
Okay. Well, 1 second.
That was a question there. A comment, I guess, the last. Address that one really quick.
Okay, hold on 1 second.
Yeah, that seems pretty interesting. It's sort of like, you know, it's still like playing a lottery. That's what that question is getting.
No, it's not. No, it's not like that.
No.
You know, it's not like that. It's I'm looking at this. The market is like a casino. It's rigged. Yeah, you can look at it being a casino. But the difference is this: you now have the ability to create your own program that will follow certain rules to, quote, beat, that where you can, quote, beat the market. There are many people that beat the market all the time. Many people. And this is not like playing lotto is definitely, you will never hit the lottery. Trading, using programming to trade, is something that we all as African Americans can learn and take advantage of. If you guys look at the current championship right now and look at all of the, if you look at all of the participants, and I'm going to send this to you guys, the participants, hold on, what's the, I want you guys to see something. I'm going to give you this link, put this in the chat room.
While you're looking at that, man, let me take a quick break, man. I need to give me a breather. I haven't been feeling like myself lately.
Hello?
I kind of felt, you know, my allergies started messing with me, and then I just got the full-fledged flu. So, yeah, let me take a quick break, man. Explain it to me when you get back, okay?
Okay.
Man, the bingy man a chant chant. See the Rasta man, the bingy man a chant chant. See the Naya man, the bingy man a chant chant. See the Rasta man, the bingy man a chant chant. Too much rude boy they a roll. See the prison them overload. Too much rude boy they a roll. See the prison them overload. I and Naya man, the bingy man a chant chant. See the Rasta man, the bingy man a chant chant. The rest of man, the biggie man, a chan-chan. We like, take a look, see how it's a bad. He said that the system no right. Every day you find a couple dead body that get killed overnight. And the rich have it plenty. They enjoy their money while the poor in the ghetto, they have no penny. They work every day, low wage for their pay. The system never get better, it get worse every day. Still, I and I am a chan-chan. See the Rasta man, the biggie man a chant chant. See the Naya man, the biggie man a chant chant. I and Naya man, the biggie man a chant chant. Too much rude boy they a roll. See the prison them overload. Too much rude boy they a roll. See the prison them overload. Back with you gun. Naya man a chant them down. Gun.
suffering lips, and you're lying tongue, implicating to the youth, say better days are gonna come, then I care about your life, family are your wife, but there's no speech nor no language where the voice is not heard. Rasta man the bingi man a chan chan, Sidi Naya man the bingi man a chan chan, Aya Naya man the Rasta man a chan chan. Take a look, see how what a bad. She said that the system no right. Every day you find a couple dead body that get killed overnight, and the rich have it plenty. They enjoy their money while the poor in the ghetto, they have no penny. They work every day, no wage for their pay. The system never gets better, it gets worse every day. Lord, I am a chan chan. See the Rasta man, the bingi man a chan chan. See the Naya man, the bingi man a chan chan. See the Rasta man, the bingi man a chan chan.
Welcome back to the Chef Rob Show here on Blog Talk Radio. Man, this stuff is kicking my rump here, man. Goodness gracious. Captain Hitch, you still there?
Yes, I am, Rob. Still here.
Go ahead, brother. Throw out that information. You know, I think this is like when a lot of us talk about, when we talk about stuff like this, finances, you know, how money works or money's been pushed around, what's going on, it seems to push a lot of people away. And a lot of our people don't really realize that, hey, look, this is how they're actually making money off you.
Exactly. And
so we really need to go ahead and change our focus here. You know, you need to know how money works. Can't keep going ahead and spend it if you don't have it.
Exactly.
A lot of us are quick to go ahead and run the store. I got a bad ass. But then you want to go ahead and turn around and work,
and what
24 hours a day to go ahead and pay for all this old silliness. So you need to go ahead and you want to increase your income, your revenues. Let's find some different ways. And I think they're all going ahead, and one of those ways is going ahead and concentrating with us. Buy black only. Buy from black businesses. Try to work on that. There's some brothers and sisters out here that's doing good, that's honest. So I get sick of hearing this, that you can't go ahead and buy shit from niggas. That shit pisses me the fuck off. Go ahead, brother. Make your presentation.
Yeah, so, Pianchi, I saw what you were putting in there about, you know, these guys back in those days in 2003, and you were teaching options trading. And what I'm saying to you, Brother Pianchi, is that you can now program, if you had a method for trading options that you think was a good method, you can write a small program to test that theory out, to test your strategy out. So you can take – so this is the beauty of this new of these systems now. I can put a strategy together for call options, put options, no matter what financial instrument it is. I can write the program on this. I can then put it in what's called a strategy tester. I can say over the last year, let me test my strategy over the last year. The computer will go through the last year's price movements, do the entire simulation, and then it will tell you, it will calculate on out. This is what you could have made. This is what you would have lost. This is what percentage of trades were successful. This is what percentage of trades were not. This is what how much you lost, what the max drawdown was, what your profit. It's incredible what is out there. Now, what we have to do is, for us as brothers, is we have to learn how to program. We have to learn how to get onto the computer and type out code to program these on our own. And what I'm encouraging the brothers to do is those resources, those links that I gave you, everything you need is there. You can download the programs. You can play with the programs. There are
There are already robots already created. There are indicators created. This stuff is out there already, and there are forums. There are quote courses on there. There is a book. If any one of you need, I bought a book called MQL4 Programming. I bought the book myself online, printed it out, 200 and something pages, and I'm going through it step by step. And this stuff is not that hard. It takes some time to slowly understand what's going on with it. It takes a little time, and you got to get over the intimidation factor of looking at lines of code, but all of a sudden you start to look at it, and it doesn't look like Chinese anymore. You start to see, okay, now I understand it.
When a lot of people looking online, I always keep up on somebody, and I always catch them. They're supposed to be researching this, researching that, you know, but they veer off, start looking at all that BS.
Well, I mean, look, I can tell you what I'm doing right now. I'm in the temple every day.
The reason I brought that up is because the benefits happen. When you got to go ahead and see what the benefits of this whole thing is,
and that needs to be pushed. And if people want to get online, look at BS, that's on you, and you're going to get left behind. That's it. We're moving forward.
I can tell
you what I'm doing every night. And when I was sitting here listening to all you guys, I'm sitting there and I'm programming as we speak. I'm going through and I'm reviewing all of the documentation. I'm cross-referencing. I'm programming every single day. I take a couple of hours a day. I work today. I come back. I'm tired. I'm that focused because I see it now. I see it. I'm like, this is our salvation, financial salvation, so to speak. Imagine, Rob, we build up ourselves financially, and our financial engine has nothing to do with anybody buying or selling a car, or we don't have to go sell a widget. We just are in the market. We are becoming masters of the market itself. And when that happens, when we can do that, then the next thing is to go build that nation. Because in the end, I'm not doing this for mansions and Lamborghinis and Lexuses and this and that. I don't care anything about that. I don't want Beverly Hills. I don't want a house I don't want an apartment in New York City or a condo in New York City, a penthouse. That's the last place I want to be on earth. I want to be on my own land. That's where I want to be, making stuff for ourselves. I totally reject this type of society. I don't want to see LaQuisha with long nails and red hair. She ain't in my program. I want to see a good sister. I want to see other kids. That's what I want to see.
Wait a minute. She can have red hair. Good. Come on now.
Yep, I don't want to see basketball wives. I ain't interested in them. Not. And this is what's going to happen. So for the brothers that are listening on this, try your best. I'm encouraging you. Try your best to learn this, to see it. Brother Pianchi, get online. Check it out. Go through the programming. And do this for yourself. That's exactly what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it just for myself. Do it for myself. And I'm practicing what I preach.
But Brother Pianchi said he used to teach it. So he should have some information about it, right?
Exactly. And Brother Pianchi, if you tell me, and I will get together with you, Brother Pianchi, if you can draw out your strategy, what you believe is the best strategy for trading, for instance, options, then I can help write that program, that robot, a trading robot, and we can test it. Test the strategy to see if it works. We don't have anything to lose. We have nothing to lose.
Okay, nothing to lose.
Yep.
But $5,000.
No, you can start off with a micro account. You can start off with a $1,000 account if you wanted to. You don't have to spend any money. They have what's called demo accounts. If you open up an account with any of these brokerage firms, you can have they will give you a demo account so that you feel comfortable with trading.
Yeah, I just lost some money. Like I said, I don't like losing money. I just lost some money, so I'm trying to get them in court, and it's going to be rough for a minute.
Brother, where you at? Where you living right now? You losing money?
Like losing money.
Brother, where you at right now? You losing money, and you ain't nothing you can do.
I'll tell you about that offline.
Okay. That's it. So
I don't like losing money. I know a lot of people out here feel the same way. So if it just researching it, I could make go ahead and ease me. Okay.
Yep.
So hey, I go ahead and I look into it and see. Hey, look, man, you know, this could work. So you know, I go ahead and I look at it. But you know, trying to get the masses involved, that's kind of rough.
No. It's not about getting masses involved. It's not
okay.
about doing that at all. It's not about getting the masses of people. It
so
is,
we don't try to push this information on to other black
brother,
people.
No, the only way that they're going to come to us is when they see us successful, so to speak.
With
see,
the Lamborghinis
us,
and
they define success by Lamborghinis and houses. That's what they think of success.
And the fur dog coats.
Yeah, and imagine. See, these guys. The guys, like I said, that are 20 minutes away. Renaissance Technologies. Please look it up, guys. Renaissance Technologies.
Renaissance Technologies.
Yep. Look at their website. Simple ass website. Renaissance Technologies. Look at the Wikipedia page. You could not even give them your money to manage. You can have Oprah, Jay-Z, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James can say to Renaissance Technology, here's all my money. Will you please manage my money? They will look at them and say, you niggas can just go ahead and keep your money for yourself. We're closed. You can't get in. These guys are making big dollars. Stupid money. And these guys, I see them a lot.
But the thing that's another thing that's bothering me, but that is because we playing their game. I think we have to be careful playing their game. We've been trying to play their game for a while, and they keep going, moving the goalposts, pulling the football away. You know, we
can't
got to
move,
kind of playing their
you
game.
Rob, the market, you can't control the market. A program is a program. A program is a program. They can't you. Once again, when you set up your trading program, they don't know who you are. They don't know where it's coming from. They have no idea where it's from. It's impossible. It is ones and zeros. It is
okay.
an order. It's impossible to know.
I just got a message, man. I got to share this with you. But if you don't have that $1,000 that you were talking about earlier, like most black folks don't, and that's true. I hate to say that, but a lot of us don't. And it bothers me like a motherfucker, man. But you know, basically, if you don't have that money, then basically you shit out of luck.
And then
I was listening to a brother earlier who was talking about the trust amongst us. We don't have that trust amongst us, so it makes it even that much harder to go ahead and go to your neighbor and say, "Hey, look, man, let's do this. I got something we can go ahead and work on. I need $1,000." So.
When they see you doing it, when they see your success, your individual success, and what I'm trying to encourage the brothers to do is learn this on your own, figure out and see if you can be successful by yourself.
Look,
I'm not
I
asking
hate,
for anybody.
I hate failure. Let me say this, brother. I hate failure. So if I start messing with this and I start losing too much, I'm going to be pissed.
Hey, brother, listen, I see that. Look, Rob, I love failure because failure to me is a learning experience.
I'm gonna give you a learning experience. On the way to school used to be when on the way to going to school when I was a shorty. Okay, one neighborhood I lived in, and this was really wild. I lived two houses from the alley. Then it was a grocery store. And when I would leave my house going to school, I had to get to the grocery store, turn left. And then I had to go down about six more blocks, then go to another school. Right? So by the time when I walk out of my house every morning, it was the same old drunk fuckers outside. Okay? And then before I got to the corner, it was the same guys who didn't go to school. So I ain't going to tell you about all the other stuff because it was hookers and pimps and everything. So by the time I got to that corner store, I would dodge them guys at the alley, but then it was the other guys who didn't go to school. And a lot of times, you know, we had to go ahead and tussle in the middle of the street. So I ain't into taking no ass whooping too many times. I'm gonna go ahead and learn this, and I'll get to it. But a lot of us ain't going to go ahead and stick with it like that. Some of us are going to take that ass whooping and then go ahead and go to the next block. I didn't. I kept going on that same fucking street because I'm not going to keep taking that ass whooping. But I don't like failure. I will stick with it to go ahead and try and win. Do you understand where I'm going with this?
Yeah, yeah, Rob. And I understand. And Rob, what I'm trying to tell you is this. You don't have to lose nothing because you can use what's called – you can go through the simulations. They have what's called demo accounts. This is demo money. This is fake money. They will give – like if you go to Forex.com, you can sign up at Forex.com, put your name in there. You can download a program. They'll say, here's your $50,000 demo account. And then you can trade in and out of the market with this $50,000 demo account. And you can see what happens if you make money or if you lose money. So you're not losing anything real at all. You're not putting real money in until you have felt comfortable. And this is the reason why they do that, is because they let people have these demo accounts until people feel confident that, okay, now they're really ready to trade. That's why you hear E-Trade online. That's why you hear see those commercials, E-Trade, Scott Trade. What's the other one that's online? There's another one that's online. And they
Trade Ameritrade?
TD Ameritrade. That's right. And you can download on your computer their software. You can work on trading strategies.
And so that's just practice, right?
That's right. It's just practice.
Just practice. No money involved. I put up no credit card to go get me one of them prepaid.
You don't
got to get a prepaid card. I'll be going and putting up all my information out
if
there.
If you go to Forex.com right now, foreign exchange is a highly volatile. TD Ameritrade, that's going to be all the stock stuff. So if you go to any one of them, you do not have to put a single cent down at all. You don't have to put a credit card. You can use a fake name. You can use a fake email address if you want.
Oh, I do that already.
Yeah, that's fine. And
I do that already.
Download,
I don't like nobody knowing where I am.
Download those programs. You download it, have your demo account, and then try it. Buy and sell and see how you do. And then if it interests you, then take it to the next step and start to learn about the programming side of it, the back end.
Okay. Hey, brother, let me say this. I got, less than 2 minutes left in the show. I'm not going in overtime because I'm not feeling well.
Gotcha.
So I'm really not feeling well. But call in number. About to go. The call in number is 626-226-1479. I entertained a couple of calls. Again, the number is 626-226-1479. Well, it made me sick. I'm going to find out who did it. I'm going to get him. All right, brother. Finish your point, brother.
Yeah, so in closing, so I'm encouraging the brothers out there to go ahead and check it out. Let's learn how to program. If we learn how to program, programs don't care if you're white, black, Puerto Rican, or Chinese. They work for you. And some of the richest men in the world are guys that have written programs. Learn programming. And that's what I would suggest. Learn programming, and let's keep in touch. Brother Bianchi, I'll hit you up. I'd like to hear about your strategy, and let's see if we can translate your strategy into an actual trading robot and test it, see if it works.
Thank you, brother, for calling in.
Nope, it's my pleasure. Thank you, Rob, for having the show. And when I get off the line, I'm getting right back into the programming, so that's what I'm going to be doing. All right. Exactly.
All right, brother. That's my show, everybody. I'm going to go ahead and nurse this cold a little bit. It was my allergies, and it turned to the flu. So I hope it was a learning experience for you. I'm going to go ahead and do a little bit more regular shows. Got a bunch of people I like to bring in because the ball is rolling, the wheels are turning, and we're about to be a nation soon. All right, everybody, peace.
Peace out.